Well, hello, quantum engineers, and welcome to the Metaphysics of Miracles Level 2. This is Module 3 in our series, and I just want to say hi and welcome and thanks for joining me. I hope wherever you are in the world that all of your mystical, metaphysical, quantum, magical practices are continuing to develop and that the work you did in becoming quantum level one is starting to settle in. I know that I've gotten some emails from several of you saying that you've been doing the practices in becoming quantum level one and you're really noticing amazing things starting to unfolding within yourself, unfolding in the world around you, synchronicities and serendipities, even at that very simple basic first level, really starting to click in. And so that makes me very happy. And I'm glad you've decided to join me in phase two. What I want to invite you to consider, and part of the reason that I make these, all of my classes, that I make them lifetime access, is to remember that this quantum practice is a practice. It's something that you do and consider and develop and investigate and expand and refine every day. It's not something that you just do once in a webinar or an online workshop and then you forget about it. It's like brushing your teeth or exercising or eating food. It's something that you do every day. It's something that you develop every day. You know that part of what I do here at Modern Mystics is I train spiritual powerhouses. I develop, help people develop their mastery, their metaphysical mastery. And that doesn't happen by doing something just once. So I invite you to make your becoming quantum practice something that you do all the time, and something that you revisit whenever you feel a need to recharge, to amplify, to empower, to gain strength. Because each time you do revisit the lessons, you will discover something else. Because there's a lot of rich things to consider here. So with that said, let's move on. Let's welcome to phase two, module three in our series, Becoming the Creator. You are quantum. And so in this powerful module, we're going to make a massive change in identity. We touched on it in level one, but in this module, we're going to move from working with the quantum mind to working as the quantum mind, or working from working with spirit to working as spirit, moving from working with source energy to working as source energy. And this really important shift in understanding awakens us to a greater creative flow that puts the ultimate creative power right in our hearts and minds with no separation. It puts us in the driver's seat, literally. And so in this module, we're going to continue the transformation that we started in level one of moving of self into soul and source and rooting it in power, so that you can start creating from the highest potential of the I am identity, the quantum identity. You're going to discover some of the most important creative powers that you always have access to. And there's a really wonderful, juicy list of creative powers that help you shape your miracle-making skill. Contrary to your popular belief, there is not just one. There are many. And they're really powerful. And we're going to start to boldly apply the metaphysical principles of consciousness, particularly power and perception, and getting really clear about what those two things mean so that you can start generating creative, synchronistic, and miraculous results. Take what you did in phase one to the next level. So before we dive into this module, let's just do a quick review of what we discovered in phase one. And I know that many of you are return students. You've done phase one. Some of you are new So I encourage you to go review phase one. And if you haven't done phase one, to go do that before you dive into phase two. But just a quick review, what we covered in phase one was that we discovered the dynamic relationship between all of our levels of being, self, soul, and source, and how those parts of ourselves fit together to help us shape miracles. We discovered that we gain greater access to the metaphysics of miracles when self is deconditioned. Our self, our personal identity, who we think we are when we look in the mirror, is shaped on a lifetime of conditioning, a lifetime of programming, a lifetime of patterning, a lifetime of beliefs, attitudes, circumstances, and situations that we neutralize and dissolve through the processes of quantum forgiveness, the ability to dissolve those conditions or ideas so that we have greater access to soul and source. And over time, the more we decondition ourselves, the greater access we have to the miracle process. We discovered that miracles happen in consciousness first, which is why we need to be able to go into self and decondition it. We're deconditioning our consciousness. We're making room. And so miracles happen in consciousness first. They're not going to happen spontaneously. Well, they do sometimes happen spontaneously, but they happen spontaneously because something has shifted in consciousness without our awareness, which is always fun. Absolutely. Again, we talked about quantum forgiveness, which is the ability to dissolve conditioning, and that softens the boundaries between self, soul, and source, giving you as an individual access to greater levels of power. We talked about the metaphysical process of miracles and how it happens in three stages. The first stage is that we move into phase with the quantum. We generate a field of coherence with the heart and the brain. We release all that is not quantum, meaning we, using our quantum forgiveness practices, we release all that is limiting. And the third part is that we affirm all that is quantum. We declare our I am identity, the I am identity that declares we are, I am abundant, I am power, I am grace, I am creativity, I am life itself, etc. So I invite you to go back and review modules 1 and 2. Again, as I said before, you'll gain greater clarity every time you go back and revisit the lessons. Just like if you ever buy a book that you're drawn to metaphysically, and you read it and you're like, oh, I don't know, I don't get it, and you put it down, and then you go back and you read it again a couple of years later and you're like, oh, this makes so much sense now, I totally get it. It's because you've become somebody different. The book hasn't changed. You've changed. You've grown. You've become more conscious. You become more capable of soaking up what's contained in the book. And so that is what will happen here too. The wisdom grows stronger in you each time you use these practices in real life. Every time you do a quantum forgiveness, you become somebody different. Every time you declare your position in the quantum field, you become somebody different. So when you go back and review the first lessons in level one, you're a different person than you were when you first studied it. And so the lessons are going to sit with you differently. Again, that's why I provide lifetime access for these things. So with that quick review under our belts, let's dive into phase two, level two of the metaphysics of miracles, becoming power. In this circumstance, and if you've studied with me before, you've heard this word before, the idea of power is not the power to manipulate or the power over anyone. It's the power within ourselves. And it's the ability to engage with, to shape and direct energy to create physical outcomes. Power is the ability to move energy and consciousness to shape miracles, to shape manifestations in the outer world. Okay, that's what power is. to a metaphysician. And that's what we're working on in level two. So as we're in level two, we're going to continue to work with these three levels of consciousness, self, soul, and source. In level one, as I said before, we renegotiated the density of self. We softened it. We deconditioned it, giving us greater access to soul and source. But these three levels are still going to play a role in our metaphysical game. What is changing in level two is the relationship that we have with soul. In level one, we altered our relationship with self. We dissolved it, and we continue to dissolve it. It's something that we're always doing. We're constantly refining the conditioning of self. And in level two, we are going to specifically start to work on the middle ground of soul as source energy. And we'll talk more about that specifically as we move on. But this very powerful middle ground is where all of our metaphysical and mystical work is done. This is where the power happens. In self, it's very, very limited. Source, if we go directly to source, then we cease to exist in the physical 3D world. So we need the middle ground of soul. And so this is where our power is generated. When we are creating metaphysically, we create from soul as source. Again, it's the powerful middle ground. When we make this shift out of self and into soul, and I'll mention this again and again and again, we still maintain our personal individuality. You still, will still exist in your skin suit. You will still have your personal preferences, your personal ideas, etc. But it will be coming from a far more powerful position of being, which gives you greater access to creative power. So let's talk about this thing called soul and this symbol in particular in our diagram of self, soul, and source. So the soul is in the 3D world. It is the fertile ground for miracle making. It is the foundation in which and through which we breathe life into our desires. And so the origins of the word soul is from the Hebrew, and it's the word that for soul is nefesh. Nefesh, and it means throat or the place of breath, And what this definition in Hebrew means is it expresses life and desire. And the very word desire, desire, means of the Father. And recognize that when we are working quantumly, when we are working metaphysically, our very position point is of the Father and I are one. The desire, my desire, and the Father's desire are the same. They are the one thing, the soul. The desires that I have in my soul and the desires of the Father are the same thing. And it also indicates that soul, being the place of breath, soul is rooted in breath. Soul is rooted in the life that that becomes available to us when we take our first breath. When a baby takes his first breath on earth, that's when life begins. That life on earth, life in the 3D, begins at that first breath. And at the last breath, when we take our last breath, when we unzip our skin suit, life on earth ends. So you and it is said that the soul leaves the body when that last breath is taken, and the soul enters the body when that first breath is taken. Now, when the last breath is taken, the first breath is taken. That breath is what engenders life into us. Now, I don't want to get all weird and political, you know, that to say that a baby is not alive before it takes its first breath. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that life on Earth, the 3D world, the soul enters the body when that first breath is taken. So this is the power of the soul. It is the fertile ground of our miracle making. It gives us the power to shape and integrate energy. And this symbol of the soul is very powerful for us as metaphysicians. It represents the integration of matter and spirit. Before I get into that, let's talk about the imagery contained in this diagram of the soul. The circle is there. The circle represents spirit. And then you've got two lines. You've got a vertical line and a horizontal line. The horizontal line, the one that goes across the middle, side to side, that represents matter. Vertical line up and down represents spirit. The horizontal line represents the feminine energy. The vertical line up and down represents masculine. The horizontal line represents a negative electrical charge. The vertical up and down line represents a positive electrical charge. The horizontal line represents an in-breath, the feminine. The vertical line represents the out-breath, the masculine. The horizontal line represents peace. The vertical line represents power. So this diagram is a representation of everything we are integrating in our quantum metaphysical practice. And we are seated at the very center of the intersection of those lines. We are seated at the very middle of matter and spirit, the very middle of masculine and feminine, the very middle of positive and negative electrical charge, the very middle of in-breath and out-breath, the very middle of peace and power. This integration of all of these energies, this is where we position ourselves. This is where we must be in order to become quantum, right? We are rooted in the middle of, we are not situated in self and we are not situated directly in source. We're in the very middle of it. But this is our individual aspect. This is your unique position of source. So this is where you do your metaphysical work as your unique position of source. This is when people are working metaphysically from self, they don't have access to direct access to source. When they're working from soul, you are no longer working with spiritual energy or with source energy. When you are working from soul, you are working as source energy. So this is where we position ourselves. So I want you to get really familiar with what is being integrated when we come from soul. Matter and spirit, masculine and feminine, positive and negative electrical charge, in-breath and out-breath, peace and power. It becomes this dynamic combination, integration, becomes a wholeness. And you remember that we talked about that wholeness recognizes wholeness. Wholeness is what gives us the capacity of working with the I am. The I am is wholeness. And when we work from wholeness, we work as wholeness. And so when we start creating from here, from this position of soul, we move from creating from the limited power of self to the limitless power of soul as our own individual aspect of Source, the I Am, gives us the ability to create as Source without losing our individuality, meaning that we get to create as Source, but we get to create with our personal desires in mind, our personal intentions in mind, our personal wishes and preferences and attitudes. We don't lose our individuality. A lot of people tend to think that if you start to blend with the I Am, that you're just going to become this mindless thing that's driven by some external source, and that's not it at all. What we're starting to recognize here is that we are an individuated aspect of the divine force, and all of our desires, all of our dreams, all of our goals, all of our wishes, all of our preferences, all of the individual things we want to create, those we keep, but we get to run them through the massive energetic conduit that is Source energy. So you're not going to lose any of your individuality. Your preferences will remain the same. They'll just have more power. And so this shift in identity, as we move more potently into soul working as Source, and the power that comes with it, influences the quantum field in expanded ways. And remembering that the quantum field, the thing that shapes reality, excuse me, responds to our being. Doesn't respond to what we do so much as it responds to who we are being. And the quantum field collapses and densifies energy and shapes it into matter based on our preferences, based on our desires, our goals, and our dreams. So as I said before, we align our will with quantum will. When we position ourselves in this identity, we recognize that they are the same things. Nothing is going to change, right? And this becomes really important. So let's talk a little bit more about the quantum mind and Source energy and how it starts to become really easy to start to identify with the power of the I Am when we recognize this very simple but potent truth. The quantum mind, Source energy. People call it God. They call it the divine mind. They call it the Father. Whatever you want to call it. It is the expression of everything that is energetic and nothing that is energetic. It is an expression of everything that is matter and nothing. It is this vast expression of the everything and the nothing. It is timeless. It is spaceless. It is infinite. This field of energy holds everything physical together. It shapes physical matter. It's like the giant energetic quantum ice cube tray. It gives shape to form. It takes the energetic building blocks that are consciousness, and it turns it into physical stuff. And it is everywhere. The quantum mind, the God, the divine mind, the Father, the I Am is everywhere. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. I want you to really make this knowing what you think about every day, all day, especially as you're shaping miracles. That the key to it is everywhere is the key to helping you move from working with spirit to working as spirit, to move from working as source to, moving from working with source to working as source. It is everywhere. The divine mind of God, the divine mind of the quantum, the divine mind of creation is everywhere. Okay. Stick that on your mirror. So if it is everywhere, there is nowhere that it isn't, right? If there is nowhere that it isn't, that means that it is in you and it is you. If it is you, you have access to its creative, causative power. I really want this knowing to sink in. So if it's everywhere, then it means it's in you. If it is you, you have access to its causative power. If it is you, that means you don't have to connect with it. You simply have to remember that you are it, and you simply have to start thinking like it. This is the massive, powerful, quantum leap in identity that is going to make the difference in your ability to shape miracles. You don't have to connect with it. You don't have to go to another dimension. You don't have to go to another vibrational density. It is here now, here now, here now. It is you. When you look in the mirror, every time you look in the mirror, I want you to start thinking and knowing that the image that you see in the mirror, that physical skin suit, is the container of the divine mind. And it's not egoic. It's not blasphemy. It's not heresy. It's the truth. If that God force, if the divine quantum mind is everywhere, that means it's in you. You are it, and you have access to its power. Okay? So what I want you to start to do is start to become really curious about what that knowing means for you as a creator. Because your thoughts, your imaginings, your energies, your emotions, your ideas are constantly creating, whether you're conscious of them or not, right? You are constantly creating reality, your reality. You're creating awesome things in your reality, and you're creating crappy things in your reality. You're creating, the collective as a whole is creating lovely things in this 3D reality and not so wonderful things, but we are always creating. We are always creating. But when this identity that we are a creator becomes embodied and understood and recognized, when it becomes awake in you, when it becomes conscious in you, that you go, oh my God, oh me God, not even oh my God, oh me God, oh I am, oh I am, oh I am. I am a creator. When this identity becomes embodied and conscious and starts to become, you start to become profoundly aware of it, that's when your creative metaphysical potential becomes specific, directable, deliberate, and intentional. So I want you to become very curious about what this means for you as a creator. You have always been quantum in nature. You just haven't known it. And certainly religion tells us that there's no way that that's possible, that for us to claim our divine identity, our quantum identity, is egoic or heretical. That could not be further from the truth. But what is also important to understand is that this creative power, the quantum power, is neutral. It is neutral. Remember that it is said that the Father is no respecter of persons. Meaning, this quantum energy is available to everyone. When I say the quantum is neutral, it doesn't mean the quantum is neutral in power. It means the quantum is neutral in opinion. The quantum is neutral in opinion. It is no respecter of persons. It's available to everyone. It's available to people who are not conscious and aware, and it's available to people who are conscious and aware. It's available to crappy people, and it's available to good people. What it is it's a foundation of energetic expression. It's a field of energy, meaning everyone has access to it. In the Star Wars movies, they call the quantum the Force. It can be used to create good, or it can be used to create evil. Whatever you express at whatever level of consciousness, at whatever levels of identity, you will create it. And there are people, and every person on the planet is using the quantum to produce their reality. Some people are using it to create stuff that they really love and are, you know, excited by. And other people are using it to create stuff that create, you know, really crappy circumstances in their life. So it's neutral. No respecter of persons. So the more aware you are about your position in the quantum and how the quantum responds to it, the more power you have as a creator. And let me also say this. This is very important. You have absolutely no control over anyone else's position in the quantum. You have absolutely no control. However, you are connected to everybody in the quantum. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can gain a degree of flow with those two paradoxes. You have no control over anybody else's position in the quantum, and yet you are intimately connected to everybody else in the quantum. We'll talk about why that's important a little bit later. So this is a really important thing to understand. This energy is available to everyone, including you, and including the people that piss you off in the world. So let's talk now about the power and the perspective of the I am. And you see this diagram, this image of these circles that are blended together. In the center of these two circles, it's what is called the Vesica Pisces. You see the center point in the middle of these circles. That center of the where those two circles blend, that again is sort of the position point of the soul. And that's where we do all of our creative power. We're going to be talking a lot about this blending and this merging, this position point of power, and the perspective that this position gives us as we do our work. So perspective and power. Perspective, as we shift into soul, is very important because we see the world, we have a perspective of the world as we are. We experience reality as we experience ourselves. We perceive the world as we perceive ourselves. Self creates one reality. Soul, as the I am, creates another one. If you're wandering out in the world and you're believing you are not quantumly connected, if you believe you are just an insignificant speck on the back of a planet in the middle of some big giant universe and you have no power, your reality, what you perceive in your reality, is going to look a certain way. If you understand that you are a divine creator, that you are the divine creator itself, disguised, walking around in a little skin suit, and you embody and embrace that identity, you are going to create a powerfully different reality. Self creates one reality, and that is what it perceives. Soul, as the I am, creates another reality, and that is what it perceives. So what lenses are you looking through? What aperture of information are you perceiving? And so let's talk about the perception of being. This is an aperture of a camera, right? If you've ever seen the lens of a camera, you know that when you're taking photographs, that the aperture of the lens, based on how you program it, will let in certain amounts of light. If we go to the the right-hand side of the slide where you see the F22, they call it a stop. F stop. What is your F stop? They call that a 22. So if your F stop is at F22, the aperture of the opening is very, very small. Side aperture of the lens is very, very open. And going back to the right side, it only lets in 1/64th of the amount of light when you're at the left side at F2.8. So an aperture of information, there's an aperture of potential. At the right-hand side of the slide, the aperture of potential is very small. It's very limited. It's very tight. It's very constricted. At the aperture on the left-hand side, F2.8, the aperture is wide open. There's far more potential. There's far more light. There's far more energy and information that is made available in these areas, right? So when this is a very crucial, important diagram to be aware of, especially when we're working metaphysically. Because when we're working rooted in the 3D world, most people are working at F22, at the limited aperture on the right-hand side. When you're working metaphysically, you're working with self, or sorry, when you're working with soul and source, you're working at F stop 2.8. So this is where we are on this diagram. Self is way over on the right, very limited perception, very limited access to energy and information. As you start to move forward, you move towards the middle, you settle into soul where there's more energy, and you move to source at the far end. Okay. How we position ourselves when we're coming from the position of soul. Now, recognize when you're coming from self and you're not aware of this, you have very little control. You have very little flexibility in being able to control this aperture. Most people on the planet have no idea that this aperture of energy, this aperture of perception even exists. None. And so they're limited at that right-hand side of the slide. But as we're developing our metaphysical skill, we're coming from soul, we recognize that as soul, we have an awareness that gives us flexibility and control to alter this aperture, to open it when we want it open, to close it when we need to close it. And there are times when we do need to close it. You know, when you're in a big crowd of a bunch of unconscious people, you don't want your aperture wide open. When you're in your meditations, when you're creating, you do want your aperture to be wide open, right? So when we come from soul, we have the ability to control this aperture, to turn it up, to turn it down, to open it, to close it, however we want to shape it. If we want light, lots of light, if we want to be able to provide lots of energy and information to our metaphysical miracle building skill, we open that aperture way up. If we're hanging around in a crowd of very unconscious people, we get to shut it down. We get to make it smaller. We refine it. So as we develop our metaphysical skill, this aperture starts to open. So in level one, when you were doing your quantum forgiveness and you were starting to decondition self, what you were doing there, for all intents and purposes, was opening this aperture. That's what we're doing. That's what we did in level one. So you started to open this aperture. Now you have greater access to light. Literally, light is the energy and information that creates up the quantum. Everything that we see around us is a condensation of energy and information, what we call light. And this is what we are starting to develop in our metaphysical practice. Okay. And so those ideas of perception, I'll go back here to this slide here. This one here, that we see the world as we are, our identity shapes what we perceive, right? And then our identity goes on to further shape what we perceive as it relates to this aperture of light. That's second part. And then identity also helps us shape perception, because we, as I said, we see the world as we are. And I'm using this image of the cheetah because, for some of you guys who have studied with me before, I've told this story before, but that we see the world as we are. And this became really profoundly meaningful to me when I was on safari in Africa. And one morning, we woke up bright and early. We were going to find cheetah. And we got into our, jeep with my guide. His name was Juma. And we're out trekking, and it's sunrise and it's a beautiful day, and it's just lovely. And I'm in heaven, and we're going to find cheetah. I'm very, very excited. And we're driving down the path, and Juma says, "Simone, see the cheetah? See the cheetah there on the hill?" And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, Juma. I can't see it." And nobody else in the car could see it either. And we've got our cameras, and we've got our binoculars, and we've got our big super, super high lenses. And he goes, "There, see it right there." And it took a long time for us to be able to find it. We almost had to be sitting like almost directly on top of it to actually be able to see it. But sure enough, there was the cheetah exactly where Juma had said it was. And I said to Juma, I was just so struck by his ability out of this vast savanna. You know, we were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres, hundreds of miles of potential, and it was all the same color. And I said, "Juma, how do you do that? How out of all of this massive information, bugs and trees and critters and grass and rocks, how do you spot that cat?" And Juma said, "I'm not looking for the cheetah." He said, "I become the cheetah. And when I become the cheetah, everything that is not the cheetah disappears." And I was like, oh my God. I mean, he was talking metaphysics. This is long before I was ever, you know, a serious metaphysician. But that message struck me and stuck with me. So he said, "I am not coming out here into this massive field to try to find a cat. I am coming out into this massive field to find myself. And so if I embody the energy of the cheetah, if I become the cheetah, then everything that is not like the cheetah falls apart, falls away, disappears, becomes invisible. So I get behind the wheel of the car. I know exactly where to go because I'm finding myself. And there I see me. There I see me right there, because nothing else exists." That is what we are doing when we become, when we recognize, when we position ourselves as the I am, as the divine mind, and we start to declare our creative powers of I am abundant, I am wholeness, I am power, I am grace, I am beauty, I am prosperity, I am success, I am life itself. Just like Juma, who can instantly spot the cheetah in the vast openness of infinite stuff by becoming the cheetah, so too are we then able to perceive the things that we want to shape as miraculous in our reality by becoming it. So, with that as a part of the work. If you claimed your identity, and this is homework that I want you to consider. If you claimed your identity as the power of the I am, as I am infinite intelligence, I have access to everything I need. I am infinitely supported. I am infinite wealth. I am infinite power. I am infinite prosperity. I am infinite goodness. I am infinite life. I am infinite potential. If you claimed your identity as that, what would that help you perceive? If you're wanting to shape a miracle in your world, if you're wanting to shape a vision or an outcome, and you claimed that I am identity, what would it help you create? What would it help you allow? Right? When Juma was looking for the cheetah, and he positioned himself in the identity of the cheetah, and everything disappeared, everything that wasn't the cheetah disappeared around it. The cheetah was allowed. It simply emerged. It simply appeared. Juma didn't go out into the field embodying the identity of the cheetah and then go, here, kitty, 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 here, cheetah, 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 cheetah. The cheetah just emerged. It just was allowed. It just was there. It was revealed. So what would this identity reveal? What would it allow for you? What do you suppose it would what would it clear away so that you could more elegantly perceive it? Would it allow greater health? Would it allow greater wealth? Would it allow greater creativity? Would it allow greater flow? Would it allow greater abundance? What would it allow? If everything that was not it disappeared, what would it reveal? What would it help you release? What would it help you release? The distractions of life, again, the idea that when Juma became the cheetah, everything that wasn't the cheetah disappeared. So what would this positioning help you disappear? Would it help you disappear patterns of trauma? Would it help you disappear patterns of judgment? Would it help you disappear patterns of stuckness? What would it help you disappear? Would it help you release? Take time with these questions, because again, when we're shaping miracles, those potentials for that those miracles are always there. Just like the cheetah in that vast savanna is always there. It's always there, but we can't perceive it because number one, there's too many distractions of the 3D world, and we're not aligned. We're not aligned. So this isn't about hustle or going out into the African savanna and going, here, kitty, or cutting down grasses, or, you know, it's alignment. It's about alignment. And in order to become aligned, we have to release stuff. Stuff that isn't important, stuff that has nothing to do with what we're creating, stuff that has nothing to do with who we are being. If you claim this identity as the I am, what would it insist that you forgive? What would it insist that you let go of? What would it insist that you release? What would it insist that you give forward to give you greater aperture? And what would it generate as an inevitability? Meaning, if you position yourself as the I am, and you have a goal in mind to create greater levels of health, wealth, happiness, success, business, relationship, whatever, what would it generate as an inevitability? For to the I am, all things are possible. right? Just think of crawling into the back of that Jeep, climbing into the back of that Jeep with me on that beautiful pink dusk morning and driving out into hundreds of miles of savanna trying to find a cheetah. And in Juma's mind, knowing the inevitability that he was going to spot the cheetah, there was no doubt in Juma's mind that he'd be able to find that cheetah. But to the people in the truck, to people in the car, looking at that vast expanse of savanna, we're going, this is going to be impossible. This is impossible. How are we going to spot one little cat in the midst of all of this? For Juma, it was an inevitability. There was no doubt in his mind. What will you be able to generate? What must you claim as an inevitability? Like Juma the guide saying, I know exactly where the cheetah is because I am the cheetah. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It's inevitable, but it's just a matter of time. I want you to start to embody that degree of knowing. It's inevitable. Because I am the creative power. My mind, my thought, my energy, my attitudes, my beliefs, my actions are all in alignment with what I want to create. And so it's inevitable. It's just a matter of time. I want you to take time with these questions and get really clear about them. Because these things that you're going to be clear about are going to help you stay on track as you move forward. Okay. And as those awarenesses become more clear, as they become more potent, as they become stronger, your amplitude, your waveform, your coherence is also going to become stronger. And this strength generates greater power. So these questions are important. It's not just about going and sitting in a meditation and generating them. You need to be aware of these questions, because these questions and these answers are going to help you generate power. Now, when we are generating power, the perspective of the I am, we're not increasing frequency. What we are increasing is amplitude. We're not going into super high frequency. We are going into a coherent frequency that is rooted in peace and power, which is what we develop when we do our meditation, but we are amplifying it. It's just like when you sit in front of an amplifier, somebody is playing a guitar at a coffee house and they don't have an amplifier. They're just playing it acoustically. That guitar and that singer could entertain a room full of people at a coffee house, you know, nicely. But if that guitarist and that singer were playing to a stadium with 20,000 people, you would need an amplifier. You would need to be able to amplify that sound so that more people could hear it. You're not increasing frequency. You're increasing amplitude. You're not altering phase. You're just amplifying phase. So the more you are clear about the questions that we asked here with the cheetah, here, the clearer you get, the more amplitude you generate. The more amplitude you generate, the greater power you have. Think of it this way. If you have greater amplitude in your being, just like the guitar player playing in a stadium full of 20,000 people, the quantum field is going to recognize greater amplitude It's going to be a louder, if you will, a louder code, a louder signal that the quantum field recognizes. The more amplitude in the code, the more quickly then the quantum field can collapse that matter for you. So it's, again, it's not a matter of high frequency. It's a matter of strength of amplitude that gives you power. Okay? This is really crucial. And this is what we'll be working on and developing in level two, is shaping greater amplitude. And in refining the questions that I ask you in each of the modules, that helps you generate coherence. So it's not enough just to be coherent with an ordered, you know, ordered heart and ordered mind. Now what we want to be able to do to generate power is generate amplitude. So this is what we're going to be working on. So the questions that I ask you in this module are going to help you do that. So don't pass over them thinking that you got to dive directly into the meditation. This work is important. So the amplitude is what the quantum responds to. So you can have a really low amplitude, that's fine. And generally, gently, gradually over time, something will materialize. And, or you can have a really strong amplitude and things will materialize more quickly. So these energetic diagrams, amplitude at the top and coherence at the bottom, these are the energies that we are playing with as we work our metaphysics. Okay? So it's not just frequency. And it's not high frequency. It is an amplitude of coherent frequency. It's an amplitude of coherent thought. It's an amplitude of coherent imagining. It's an amplitude of coherent energetics. Okay, it's a combination. So what I want you to consider to start again to generate this greater level of coherence and greater level of amplitude, greater level of power, what do you as the I am want to create? What are your miracles? What are your visions? What are the imaginings that you as the I am are shaping? What ideas, big or small, do you want to see in your reality? Write all these things down. There's no right or wrong. There is no big, giant secret that some God force is keeping from you. There's this really detrimental idea out there in the spiritual new age that the universe is keeping some big secret about what is my purpose from you, that there's some secret hidden in some locked up treasure chest somewhere that God is holding some secret about what your purpose is. No, you get to decide the things that are important to you. What do you want to do? Do you want to be a painter? Do you want to be a stockbroker? Do you want to be an artist? Do you want to be a gardener? Do you want to be a parent? What do you want to create? What do you want to be? You have full permission. There is no secret lockbox somewhere in the quantum field or the Akashic record that is holding some secret that says this is what you're supposed to be doing. No. It's right there in your own God mind now, in your own quantum mind now. You want to be a multimillionaire? Go play with that. Go create that. You want to be a best-selling author? Go create that. You want to be a parent? Go create that. You want to be in a relationship? Go create that. You want to live on an island in Bali? Go create that. You want to sell everything you own and get a backpack and a bicycle and travel around the world? Go create that. You want to live in a penthouse in New York? Go create that. What outcomes do you want to generate that are sitting available on your knowing right now? And what would it feel like to have those realities already available? What would it feel like, again, to use the idea of it's inevitable? It's inevitable. It's here. It's here now. What would it feel like? What degree of ease, what degree of satisfaction, what degree of relief, what degree of wholeness, what degree of, man, this is awesome. What would it feel like to have those realities already available to you? Who would you be being? What experience would be a part of your life when this outcome is generated? Right? If you're wanting to become a parent, what experiences would be a part of your life when that happens? You want to have a child, or you want to be married. What experiences of your life would be a part of that? There's a whole reality that comes with that outcome. You want to be an award-winning, best-selling author. What experiences would be a part of that if that is generated? You want to be a millionaire. What experiences of your life would occur? On the other side of that, what would no longer exist based on what you're wanting to shape and create? What feelings, what sensings, what emotions, and what attitudes accompany this reality? These questions and the answers that you come up with are really important, because when we start doing the meditations, you're going to need to know this ahead of time. This is the information that we plug into your creative code. This is the information that we plug into your energetic amplifier. So you have to do this homework ahead of time. You got to know. Okay. Now, when we start to do this work, remember our image of the Vesica Pisces, where we position ourselves in these circles. That the position, the power position of the I am, does not exist in the past. It does not exist in the future. It exists in the infinite now. That power position in the very middle. It's here now. It's here now. It's here now. Your miracle doesn't exist in the future. It exists now. And what we're doing is we're collapsing time and space to generate that. And again, that is the position point of the soul. The power position of the I am is at the center point of the everything and the nothing. That is where potential is. This is where we position ourselves. So the principle of metaphysics, where we position ourselves in the center, we position ourselves between matter and spirit, between self and source, between everything and nothing, between positive electrical charge and negative electrical charge. This is the position point of soul. It is potential embodied. It is integrated, right? The principle of metaphysics, the law of metaphysics, the rule of metaphysics. A principle is a law or a rule. 2 + 2 = 4, that's a principle. What you put in is what you get out. Energy and information equals outcome. That's the principle of metaphysics. The idea of the principle of metaphysics is that matter and spirit are the same thing. They only differ in degree. So we want to be able to position ourselves in the very middle of everything and nothing so that we can start to shape stuff. And so if we take this diagram of the two circles and our position in the middle with soul, and we take our self, soul, source diagram and we flip it on its side, that's what this looks like. Self is on the left. Source is on the right. Soul is in the middle. This is where we put ourselves. This is where the work happens. Okay. But again, as I said earlier, we don't lose our individuality. We don't lose our individuation. We still get to create in any way that we want to based on our personal preferences. Okay. But this middle space is the fertile soil of miracle making. This energy is what you infuse. You infuse this space with your imagination. You infuse this space with your energy. You infuse this space with your desires and your attitudes and your knowings. Okay? You infuse this space with the raw materials of miracle making. So there are many raw materials of miracle making. There's not just one, right? It's not just thought. It's not just belief. It's not just energy. There's a lot of raw materials. Okay? And so this is why some people have a really difficult time manifesting miracles, because we've only been told about, you know, a few of these raw materials, or we're only working with a couple of them. So what I want you to start to get really clear about here is all of these raw materials, okay? We've talked about identity, the I am, and the energetic position of being in the soul and what that means, okay? Your imagination, what do you imagine? What are the visions that you have for the future? Health, wealth, happiness, love, success, creativity, what do you imagine? What does that look like? What is the vision of that? Get really clear about what your imagination wants to see. Inspiration is the heartfelt desire, love, passion, to be inspired, in spirit, the impulse from your soul, the impulse from source to create this thing. I'm inspired to write a book. I'm inspired to create wealth. I'm inspired to create a family. I'm inspired to shape a relationship. We're not motivated. Motivation is external. Inspiration is internal. What are you inspired? What is that? That thing that is calling you. Okay. Feel that inspiration, that love, that passion. The next things are expectation and desire. Desire of the Father to create a thing, to see a thing, to have. Now, I want you to notice the subtle yet powerful differences between inspiration and desire. There's a subtle, nuanced feeling between those two things, right? An expectation. If you know your principles of metaphysics, 2 + 2 = 4, energy plus information equals outcome, where I position myself on the energetic scale is going to result in an outcome. That shapes an expectation. 2 + 2 = 4. If you add 2 and 2, you expect to get 4. You expect to get 4. There's an expectation there. Belief and attitude. Belief in your vision, belief in yourself, belief in the quantum universe being responsive, the quantum universe being hearing you, feeling you, and the attitude with which you go into that. We don't dive into our metaphysical work not believing it's going to work. We have to believe it's going to work. Actually, let me refine that. Let me refine that. What I want you guys to be able to do with these raw materials, if you have several of these raw materials, you'll be able to materialize miracles. As I'm saying that, I'm realizing that you don't need to have all of these raw materials, but the more you have, the better. So you could step into this process and still not believe it, but you could have a bunch of the others and it would still work. But it's great to have the belief. The belief energizes it even more. Right? And attitude, how you step into it. Again, if you're coming into this metaphysical equation from the position of the I am, and all of the power that's included with that, your attitude is going to be vastly different than if you are coming into it from a victimization or a powerless position. And over time, as this stuff starts to materialize, your attitude is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You're just going to know it works. Then you're going to be able to materialize and manifest and materialize and manifest quicker and quicker. That's attitude. Going into this position from an attitude of, I can do this. I am doing this. This is possible for me. It's happening. It's done. Right? That's important. Attitude generates thought and feeling. If remember in level one, where we talked about the attitude or the thoughts and the feelings of, I can't do this. I'm broken. I'm inept. It'll never work, versus I am whole. I am powerful. I am the quantum mind. That those energies, those thoughts generate feelings that generate outcome. Those thoughts and feelings generate decisions that you make and choices that you make. Are you decisions that you make about continuing to do the same stuff you used to do, or making choices about the new things that are going to start to take shape? Attention, action, and allowance. Where is your attention? Is your attention on the quantum? Is your attention on the identity of the I am? Or is your attention on the stuff that isn't working? Is your attention on the past? Is your attention on what other people are doing? Where is your attention? What are your actions? It's important to take action in the 3D world that's in alignment with the miracle that you're wanting to generate. If you're wanting to become a best-selling author, the action that you take is you got to sit down and write your book. If you're wanting to be a teacher or an artist, you gotta start teaching. You gotta start painting. If you want to be a parent, you gotta start figuring out a way to make that child welcome. And then what do you allow? There's stuff that we have complete and total control over as it relates to our actions, and then there's stuff that we have to allow. Stuff that we allow to come to the surface, stuff that we allow to rise, to be seen. Right? Again, Juma, allowing the cheetah to appear. Not going out into the bushes and, you know, calling, here, kitty, kitty, but simply allowing it. And then the energy of trust and gratitude. Trusting that this process, that the universe, the quantum field is hearing you and responding to you. And then gratitude, thanks in advance for the outcome. Thanks in advance. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for my miracle. Thank you for my outcome. Thank you for my wealth. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my success. Thank you for my relationship. Thank you for my life. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So these are the raw materials. It's not just gratitude. It's not just imagination. It's all of these. And so I want you to start to become really clear about what all of these are and start to get familiar with them, because these are going to be what help you get to your vision. So what are the raw materials of your vision? Go through that previous list and become as specific as possible, energetically, mentally, emotionally, physically. Right, using all of the elements of creation: fire, air, water, earth. Fire is energy, air is mental, water is feelings or emotions, and physical is earth. Get as specific as possible as you can with all of the things on this list. Okay. And then embody the I am nature of your vision completed. Be it. Start to practice that now. So there's a lot of stuff to consider, right? It's not just thinking positively. Would that were the case. Right? So get clear about that. And then this is how we accelerate flow. There's two ways that we do it. The first way to accelerate flow is, number one, resist nothing. If you're working on generating a miracle to transform a current relationship or a current situation, whatever that current situation is in your world right now, whatever is happening in your life in the present moment right now that you're wanting to change, whatever it is, if it's a health situation, if it's a relationship situation, if it's a money situation, whatever it is, do not resist it. Do not fight or judge or battle or argue with or get your panties in a wad about what is happening right now. Be in the current moment as though it is something you have chosen. Do not resist what is in front of you right now. Be in it as though it is something you have chosen. Allow the current moment to be as the current moment is. What this does is it settles you into the center point of peace and power. It puts you in the very middle of energy. What it does is it that you allowing the current moment to be as it is without judging, resisting, fighting, arguing about it, what it does is it generates coherence. It expands aperture. It alters your perception. It places you in the I am position, right? If you resist whatever is happening in your life right now, it tightens the aperture on that. Remember our aperture lens? It shuts it down. It closes it. It tightens it. It makes it very difficult to see, sense, know, perceive, recognize solutions. Okay. Number one thing to accelerating flow, to generating quicker manifestations, resist nothing. Might be hard because, listen, where you are right now might suck. But if you fight it, you're going to shut down your flow. Second tool to accelerating flow is to practice the golden rule. This is the declaration in scripture that says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And this can be a tricky one, but it's really important. It's another form of resist neutralizing resistance. And here's why. This is why this golden rule is so important. Because we all exist, every single one of us exists in the same energetic field. There is no separation between you and me and anyone else. The golden rule, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, means practice generating and sending care, imaginings for highest good and well-being to everyone you know. Everyone you know and love. And especially those you may be holding in a position of non-forgiveness or judgment. Everyone, right? Everyone, there is only one of us here. There are 7 billion different expressions of the single life form, but there's only one life form here. And so if you are judging other people, if you are attacking other people energetically, if you are holding other people in any kind of disgust or hate or judgment or energetic debt, in order for you to hold that energy against anyone, you have to hold it in yourself first. For you to have a thought about judgment, about judging someone else, you are holding that thought of judgment in yourself first, and that is creating resistance. That is shutting down aperture. That is creating a thought form. This is again another statement in scripture says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Essentially what that is saying is if you judge somebody else, you're creating that judgment in yourself first. So what you do to your neighbor, you do to yourself. So practicing the golden rule of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is it neutralizes resistance. It opens aperture. So, and to do this for people that you hold in great contempt, people who have hurt you in the past, people who have harmed you in the past, politicians who might be screwing up the world, business CEOs who are polluting the environment, hold them in care. Hold them in the imaginings for highest good. Imagine them whole and healed and loving and happy and totally conscious. If you hold them in care, you have to hold that energy in yourself first. Right? There's all sorts of scripture that in the Bible, the Helios Biblios, the book of light, Helios, light, Biblios, book. Book of Light, the Holy Bible, Scripture. It's full of Scripture. It's full of metaphysical information. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Whatever you do to the least among me, you do unto me. Meaning whatever you put out into the world, you're doing to the world. You're doing to yourself. You're doing to everything. So get very, very clear about this. This is another level of quantum forgiveness. And it amplifies and accelerates the process. It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because, you know, we have all of these judgments about crappy people in the world and what they're doing and how people have hurt us. But this is key. So when you become quantum, these principles become crucial. We start to recognize that we are energetically engaged with everything. Everything, everything, everything. The future that you want to create, you are engaged with it now. The outcome you want to generate, you are engaged with it now. The miracle you want to generate, it is here now. And so when we recognize that we are energetically engaged with everything and everyone, we gladly start to become meticulously responsible for our energetic actions. Gladly. And then this awareness catalyzes an authentic, unconditioned love, respect, compassion, understanding, and wisdom that is the foundation of miracle making. It's not a manipulated, inauthentic, high vibrational, fluff-filled, it's real. It's authentic. And it has massive power when you understand why we are doing the things that we do. This changes everything. So spend time with these considerations, and we'll talk more deeply about them in the coaching call, and I'll be providing a guided meditation for you later this week as well. So as we wrap this module up, claiming your divine identity. What does everything we have talked about in this module, what does it stimulate in you? What does this energetic position of I am and what that means and how you are connected and engaged with everything? What does it stimulate in you? What does it invite you to consider? How does this alter your past? How does it help you put things that happened in your past into perspective? And how does it influence your future? What do these understandings reveal to you right now about your present moment? And how does it change things for you right now in this present moment? And what does it encourage you and inspire you to create? Again, spend time with these questions, because those having clarity in these answers is going to help you generate amplitude and power. Right? What declarations come with this infinite identity? Meaning, what I am statements feel more true, more real, more possible for you now? And commit to embodying them in every moment. Every moment, remind yourself, I am connected with everything and everyone. my thoughts, my beliefs, my attitudes, my actions, my imaginings, they all have power. They all have meaning. They all are important. I'm going to be responsible for them. And I'm going to embody them properly in every moment. And what a joy and what an honor and what a privilege it's going to be to be able to do that. It's not an obligation. It's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. I get to step into this divine identity. I get to step into this divine power. Whoa, I get to convert this energy into matter. Holy crap. What an honor. Okay, so remember that the principles of quantum engagement, that wholeness recognizes wholeness. Coherence recognizes coherence. Power recognizes power. Abundance recognizes abundance. The I am recognizes the I am. The Father and I are one. My thought and the divine thought are the same thing. As above, so below. As within, so without. My inner nature will be manifested in the outer world. That is a position of power. And that's where we're going. So the quantum preparation for our coaching call coming up this week is to do the homework that I outlined here. We will be doing a quantum I am power prayer. I'll be talking about it in the coaching call, and I'll be providing you with a guided meditation in the classroom over the weekend. But as with all quantum work, I invite you to do these considerations that we've talked about here in this module to prepare for the energetic work to come. You got to know what you're doing and why you're doing it before you start to plug it in. With the considerations, go about your day. Notice what you notice. With the deepening of your direct relationship with the quantum and your now expanding identity as the I am creative power coming from soul, notice how your energy, your attitude, your relationships, your outcomes and experiences shift based on this new perspective. As always, the shifts will happen on the inside first. Okay. So your homework for this module is to continue to affirm the knowledge that if the quantum is everywhere, if the divine mind is everywhere, then that means you are quantum and you have access to its power. Continue to shape your I am declarations list. I am wealth. I am health. I am power. I am infinitely prospered. I am life. I am an award-winning New York Times bestselling author. I am a parent. I am married. I am successful. I am rich. Whatever your I ams are. Become very clear about your raw materials list. Fill that list out completely so you know precisely what energetics you need to master in order to shape your miracle. Practice playing with aperture while out and about during the day, expanding and contracting your field of energy. Notice what you notice. We'll work on that this weekend too in a meditation. And practice resisting nothing and practice the golden rule. Those two tools make such a huge difference. Keep a journal, make a note of your dreams. Pay attention to how you feel, what rises to the surface, and what, if any, anomalies, synchronicities, intuitions, or miraculous occurrences happen. Okay. This is a really rich module, so do yourself a favor, honor your work, and do the homework that I've invited you to consider here. Right, remembering that our principles of metaphysics, of miracle making, are energy plus information equals outcome. All of the things that I've asked you to consider here are a part of that energy and information, part of your equation. Okay, so this week we'll have our first live Q&A call this Saturday at 11 a.m. on Pacific time. I'll send you the details on Friday to join in. I encourage you, as always, to join me live to get your questions answered. But if you can't join me live and you have a question, email me at contact@simonewright.com and I will answer your question on the call. The call will be recorded. Please do email me at least an hour in advance so that I can review those questions before I answer them on the call. So enjoy this module. I love this module. It is so juicy. One of my favorites. Enjoy doing your homework. Enjoy your practice. And I'll see you on the coaching call on Saturday. Thanks so much for being with me today, guys. Bye for now.